Welcome back to Cinema Central. I'm your host, DJ Ace, and it is time, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about Captain Marvel, which came out on March 8th, and to no one's surprise, it made a bajillion dollars, okay? Like, wow, what an opening. Is like a massive hit, made $150 million domestically, which, for the record, is a ton of money. So that's cool. It has pretty good ratings all around. I think it's been sitting around the 84 range on Rotten right now. I saw it. It was pretty good for the most part. But I still wanted to sit down with you and talk about this film. But before we get to that, I need to be perfectly clear. There is a lot of hating going on around the internet right now about this movie. However, I want nothing to do with it. There's going to be no politics in this review. So if you're hating on this movie, stop hating. I will have nothing to do with you. And I am going to talk about this movie as a movie and nothing else. So that's that. So initial thoughts on Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel is a superhero origin film that only really changes the formula by introducing the amnesia mechanic to the plot. Otherwise, it is a very flashy film with a somewhat uninteresting protagonist that gets outshined by the supporting roles. The film still has good action and some good comedic moments, but that does not take away from the fact that this movie will soon be completely overshadowed by the final Avengers film. So, that being said, spoilers ahead. If you have not seen this movie, then turn around now, and I will catch you on the flip-flop after you see it. So, as you may know, Captain Marvel takes place in the mid-90s, and it does in fact connect it to the rest of the timeline. This is kind of a big plot twist in the end of the film, but the Tesseract does come into play here, and some people were asking me, like, wait, why is the Tesseract back in here? And why? And the hows? Well, as we all know, at the end post-credit scene of Thor, the first Thor movie, we see Nick Fury giving the Tesseract to the professor guy, whatever his name was. And so that's the first time we saw the Tesseract, all right? And of course, later on, we learned that the Space Stone, one of the Infinity Stones, is in the Tesseract. So the question is, how does it get from where it's been to this movie to there? Well, the freaking alien cat coughs up the Tesseract on Nick Fury's desk in the post-credits of this film. And so that's how he gets it, so he can give it to the guy later. However, where has it been to this point? Well, the last time we saw the Tesseract chronologically was in the 1940s in Captain America the First Avenger. It fell to the bottom of the ocean, but of course, Howard Stark retrieved it from the bottom of the ocean, and so, therefore, he may have just held on to it for a while because S.H.I.E.L.D. did not exist yet. He might have given it to the SSR, Strategic Scientific Reserve, from that movie, which, of course, became S.H.I.E.L.D. later on, with Howard being one of the founding members. And so the question is, how does it get from S.H.I.E.L.D. to this alien, Mar-Vell, who's a Kree, who's building a light speed engine with it? That's a great question. However, since she was just pretending to be a human and chilling out on this planet, it's entirely possible she just got involved with the right people, namely S.H.I.E.L.D. or Stark Industries, and probably got her hands on it that way. That is my assumption here. There's no real clear answer how the Tesseract got from the 1940s to an alien in the 1990s, but there it is. So I just wanted to discuss that real quick. Other things from the movie, I felt like the chemistry between Brie Larson and Samuel Jackson was actually pretty good throughout the film. They had a lot of quips, a lot of good funny moments together, a lot of good lines. I'll talk more about Brie Larson later, but you know, Samuel Jackson, you know, he's just doing his Samuel Jackson thing, man. He's a genius. He's great. He's fantastic. Love him in just about everything he's in. However, one quick note, Disney, holy crap, your de-aging is getting out of hand here. Like, I saw this YouTube video of Sam Jackson on one of the late night shows. I think it was Jimmy Kimmel. And Jimmy Kimmel pulls up, here's a picture of you in this one movie from the 90s that you did, like, that he actually did in the 90s. And then he pulls up the de-aged him in Captain Marvel. And it's like, what? It's like almost indistinguishable. I have no idea how much money went into the de-aging Samuel Jackson, but like, what is going on? Like, guys, 20 years from now, we're not even going to need actors anymore. Let's be honest. It's coming. Like, the CGI acting revolution is coming, okay? Mark my words. Other characters in the film, Phil Coulson's back. However, I really feel like his appearance in this film was overhyped because he literally had like 5 scenes in the film and that was it. And they weren't even that involved. So it's like, what? Whatever. I mean, I was excited to see him in this one because, spoilers for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., he's dead now. So, again, officially. So I was kind of stoked to see him in this one. But then he didn't actually end up doing that much. Anyway, so something I kind of mentioned in the initial reaction bit is that for this whole film, this is the origin film for Captain Marvel, all right? However, I felt like I just had this like overbearing feeling because Avengers Infinity War is coming out in 2 months. And I just felt like there's this overbearing feeling that, oh yeah, Avengers Endgame is coming out so soon. Like, that was like 40% of the reason I went to this movie, because I wanted to see what the big connection was going to be at the post credits. So yeah, it's just this idea of being overshadowed by Endgame coming out at the end of April that was kind of overbearing for the entire film. For me, I don't know if it was for other people, but it was just in the back of my mind the whole time. It's like, okay, how's this going to connect to the next Avengers film? And of course, we find out. And so because of that, this film really feels like a footnote, especially since it's coming out so close to the release of the next Avengers. And then there's the whole issue of Brie Larson's portrayal of Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Carol Danvers. So I get that she's trying to go a certain direction with it, like this rogue, tough guy thing going on. But at the same time, you're trying to throw in the fact that she doesn't know who she is. And so I feel like something got lost in translation on more than one occasion. Like, she has some funny moments. I'll give her that. And she does all the action bits just fine. I mean, I know there's CGI and stunt doubles and a lot of other things going on with that too. But, and her scene, like I said, her scenes with Samuel Jackson are fine. Well, not, they're more than fun. They're good. They're goods. But like everything else after that, it's just like, why do I care about this character again? Like, I did not feel a connection to this character because as, let's be honest, she's almost completely unrelatable for me, just saying. And so she's this alien super warrior from another planet. I mean, she's from Earth originally, but she doesn't actually know that. And then it's just a whole journey of figure out who she is, kind of. And I don't know. To be blunt, she had some bland bits throughout the movie. She had some blandness. And that's always a bummer, especially when it's coming from an actress of her caliber. All right, the plot. The plot of this film is so muddled. It is incredibly muddled. And hear me out. It'll make sense. So we get the impression that the Kree and the Skrulls are fighting this huge war, right? And they frame it so the Skrulls are the bad guys, but then perspective changes, and then, of course, it's the Kree who are the bad guys. All right, if you're into comics, you kind of already knew that. But, so the big plot twist is that Jude Law, his character, Yon-Rogg, who's kind of training Carol Danvers, is that he's the one who originally abducted her, right? So, like, he already knows the hows and the whys of where she's from and why she has her powers and where they came from. And then when she goes back to Earth and she encounters the Skrulls, particularly Talos, right? Played by Ben Mendelsohn, who is really good, by the way. He says that the Kree are looking for the Lightspeed engine that Mar-Vell made, but then we find out that's the engine that blew up and gave her her powers. And all that Talos really wants to do is find the secret ship laboratory where all the other Skrulls are hiding out. And that's where the Tesseract is. It's just like random, but it's like, okay, fine, whatever. That's the huge MCU connection, I guess, like we've already discussed. But there's kind of a hole there. You have to admit, there's kind of a hole there, because it's like, why is Jude Law's character, Yon-Rogg, going through all this effort when he already knows that she has what the Kree are looking for? Like, why have we gone through this entire process of any of this when he literally already has her in custody at the beginning of this film? Like, there's no, like, they should have experimented on her and tore her apart from the very beginning to find out, to retrieve the power that they were looking for to begin with. So, because that's why the Kree were there hunting down Mar-Vell, and Carol was just in the way at the time, and then she gets energy blasted by experimental Kree engine and gets superpowers. So, like, it's a little muddled. You have to admit, it's a little muddled, and it gets kind of confusing if you're not paying attention, which is kind of the main weakness of this film. All right, and speaking of her power set, what can she do exactly? Like, her power set is just super uninteresting, okay? Because something around the internet I've seen is like, the power scale for the MCU so far ends at Thor taking on the force of a star in Infinity War. That's kind of where, that is the tip of the iceberg, man. So that's kind of the comparison here. That's like the measure for like the most powerful feat in the MCU. But like, her power set is just like, so she has energy blasts. She can project energy fields around herself. She can fly through space. And apparently she can travel faster than light. Where did that come from? Like, they don't really take the time to explain exactly what her power set is. And then at the same time, it's a little concerning that her power set is seemingly limitless or unlimited, with no definitive weaknesses. And that is just an uninteresting character. And perfect example. I'm gonna do the most taboo thing of all time. I'm gonna talk about DC for a minute, alright? Talk about Marvel movies, switching to DC for 2 seconds. Bear with me. Superman, alright? Superman has like, he's like the definitive superhero, alright? He has all these crazy powers that make him basically a god. Except for one thing, he has a weakness. He is weak to kryptonite. And so that will stop him in his tracks. He has all the powers in the world, and he will be stopped dead in his tracks with kryptonite. All right. Going back to Captain Marvel, there are no definitive weaknesses for her powers, which to me is just an uninteresting character. And I mean, granted, there are certain characters in DC that can just beat Superman with straight up power, like power on power. He can still lose to certain characters. Just like in Marvel right now, Thor at one point could lose to certain characters in a straight up slug match. But he's not immortal. Loki points that out in one of the Thor films, like blatantly says, we're not immortal, give or take 5,000 years, you know. Like, Asgardians can die. They're not invincible. Like, you know, Thor's, like, way up there, but he can still be killed if you try hard enough. So, at this point in time, Captain Marvel is invincible, and that just makes an uninteresting character, all right? That's all I'm saying. And the bit about the Lightspeed thing, she takes the Skrulls away from Earth, but she flies outside of the ship. So we have the ship that can go faster than light, and she just flies next to it. So apparently, she could go faster than light, which is insane, because that's just like the only other character in the MCU that can achieve that feat is Thor, but he's using some crazy Asgardian science magic to do it. So, yeah. I don't know what's happening there, and it's unsettling. All right, moving on. Just some other tidbits from the film. The Stan Lee tribute in this film was amazing. It's the first thing you see in the film. Instead of the normal MCU reel that they do have been doing, they do it with Stan Lee's cameos. And, like, it took me a minute to realize what was happening, but then I realized what they were happening, and it was just amazing and heartbreaking all at the same time. Brought a tear to my eye before the movie even played, man. I'm really happy they did that. And then also, of course, he has the cameo on the bus. He was reading something, and I found out later that he was actually reading like the movie script to a movie that Kevin Smith did that Stan Lee also cameoed in. So that was really cool. I did not know that watching it, but then I found out about it later. And if you don't know, Kevin Smith is a huge director, actor, writer in the comic book world. So he's cool. All right, continuing on here. Like I said before, the movie has good action. However, I'm starting to detect a pattern in the MCU. They have some overused action scenes. Two examples. There's that brief scene where we see it's after like the Kree and the Ronin fleet arrive to blow up Earth. She flies out there to stop them. And they like, you know, launch fighters at her. And she just like travels up in a straight line, and she was like blasted and stuff, and she looks down and then she flies away. You saw it in the trailers, you saw it in the movie. Well, guess what? They're just reusing assets at this point, because I saw, again, on the internet, there was a back-to-back comparison of that trailer shot compared to what Iron Man did in Avengers. So, like, that whole scene was CG anyway. They just took the framework, took out Iron Man, put in Captain Marvel, and they were good to go. Like, it's literally a copied and pasted CG framework, which is kind of unsettling. Like, come on, guys. Surely your budget isn't hurting that much. Like, it's Disney. Come on. Put some effort here. And then also, it was hilarious once. It was fun twice. But 3-4 times, it's overused, all right? The Hulk smash gag is so overused. Avengers, Hulk smashes Loki. Boom, boom, boom. Puny God. It was hilarious. Groot, Guardians of the Galaxy. He, like, tree stabs a whole bunch of people and, like, whips them around a lot. And then Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Baby Groot. He, like, does it with one guy and he, like, whips him around a lot. And now Captain Marvel, Goose, the alien cat, you know, shoots out its tentacle things and kills a bunch of Kree soldiers and whips them around a lot. Guys, the gag is getting old. Please stop doing it. I'm sorry. Like, it was funny, sure, but it's been like the fourth or fifth time we've done this gag. Like, I'm sorry. It's just getting overused. Hey, hey, hey. All right, almost done, I promise. So, I've said a lot about this film, all right? But the one thing that irks me the most out of anything else I've talked about is, where was Danger Zone, man? The song, yes, the song Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins. Where was it, man? I'm sure Disney could have afforded the rights to that song for this movie, because it was begging for it. There's so many Top Gun references in this film. How do you not put Danger Zone in it? Like, that's easy money, man. That's easy money. Put Danger Zone in there and it's amazing, all right? Oh, I'm sorry. Got too passionate. But what was the Danger Zone? All right, post-credits scene. Straightforward. The Avengers, they have the pager that Fury dropped. They're like trying to keep it on. And then it shuts off. And they're like, oh man, what do we do now? And then boom, she pops out of nowhere. And she's like, now, where's Fury? You know? And that was it. So like, it's like, all right, we knew she was going to be in the movie. But now we get to see that she's in the movie. I mean, they did the exact same thing at the end of Winter Soldier. At the end of Captain America Winter Soldier, they had a scene tease for Captain America Civil War. So we've seen this before. It was awesome. Moving on. And then, of course, the end credits scene is, of course, with Goose chucking up the Tesseract, all right? Here's my final thoughts on Captain Marvel. I know it seems like I've been kind of negative. I'm sorry about that. I'm not trying to be. I'm just trying to point out the things that I saw about this film. On a whole, it's still a good film. It's still fun to watch. It's a good popcorn movie. It's an MCU film. And it's still good, all right? Hear me out. It's still good. I'm just saying it has issues. It does have issues. And so my final thought here is that I really, really, really hope that Captain Marvel doesn't Deus Machina Endgame, because that would just bum me out more than anything else. Like, because she kind of Deus Ex Machina'd her own movie in a way. Yeah, she kind of did. So I really hope she doesn't do that in Endgame. Like, oh, Captain Marvel's here. She can go save the day now. We're good. Like, that better not happen. That's all I'm going to say here. So, that's it for my review of Captain Marvel. Hope you enjoyed it. And please, you know what? Just remember, guys, as far as people hating on social media and stuff, just remember that is a very small group of people that their single goal is to make all of us try to fight and hate each other. So please do not become part of the cycle. Ignore it. Enjoy movies how you want to enjoy movies and move on. All right? That's all you have to do. It's easy. Social media, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Ace Cinema Central. And finally, I'm going to have another Facebook exclusive review, probably, coming up in the near future. Keep an eye for that. It's been fun, guys. Keep it cool. DJ Cinema Central. Peace. Booyah.